Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Get it?
There you go. Sam Darnold with the touchdown on third and goal. That's game over and cover. 4 minutes left. 23-9. Carolina, enough of this game already. Get me back to the good football game. Go figure, the App State game with Marshall was better. Carver High said it today on Coast to Coast. It'll be better than that crappy Thursday night football game, and that's exactly what it was. It was crap because David Culley's team is horse crap. They suck. Davis Mills did nothing. Their defense sucks. They're back to Texans football again where they lose every week. They literally look like they may not win another game the whole season. They look good in week one because they played the Jaguars, right? And Tyrod Taylor was healthy for one game, as usual. He's always injured too, Carver. You can't even deny it. That guy gets injured when the alarm clock goes off.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, it's true. I'm surprised he lasted a game and a half. I mean, that's how quickly he'll usually get hurt. Probably a different game he plays tonight, but it is what it is.
When he was your quarterback, how often did he get hurt?
At least twice a year.
Unbelievable.
At least.
So in this other game, look at it. App State. Oh, they go instead of scoring. They ran it down to the four and the guy laid down.
Ugh.
Because they want the ball. It's first and goal. There's no other explanation for it. Why didn't he score? What are you doing, bro?
How much time is left?
A minute and a half.
I'm about to put it on.
Why did he not go in the end zone? They're only up one.
Does Marshall not have any timeouts left?
I got to look.
They might just be killing the clock now, so they're not going to cover.
Obviously, they have no timeouts because the clock's just running, and now they're taking a knee. So They have one timeout left, Marshall. There it is. They're going to call the timeout. They're not even. They're calling the timeout. So now they take the knee twice, right, and game over.
Yeah, so because if he goes in, makes it an 8-point game, you can give him the ball back, and they could tie it. So I guess just run the clock out so that you win, even if it's by one. No cover.
No cover, so they're going to disappoint all of us. I'm just going to break even tonight, Carver High. That's it. I'm not going to lose any money.
Another choke job by Marshall. I mean, what were they up? 30 to 20, you said? 30 to 21. 30 to 21. They choked it, just like they did against East Carolina last Saturday.
There's the Deliverance crowd. Unbelievable. None of them have clothes on. Just big, smelly, hairy dudes with fat bellies and hairy chests dancing naked at the game. It's just... it's Deliverance. And I don't know if you've ever seen where that school is, in the middle of hills. Like, they're the hill people.
Yeah, I'm seeing them now in the crowd.
Children of the Corn.
Yeah, that's some scene.
It really is, right? Meanwhile, they got a great football program, but they don't sell it out. Have you ever noticed? The bottom bowl is full. The top one isn't at all. Here you go, another knee, and that's going to do it. Not really. They got to take another snap on the fourth down, and that's that. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM Mightier 1090 SportsMap Sports Byline. It's kind of depressing when you think about it, because that was like a really good game there at the end, and it ended ugly and lame, the guy laying down. And then the other game was so awful, I can't even watch it.
Well, if you didn't get excited about tonight, you've got the Bengals and the Jaguars next Thursday night. That'll get you going.
Jeez, I can't wait. I'm thrilled. I can't wait. So today, you know that I was actually, the Padres blew that game, remember? And then they won it walk-off style. They were up 4-2. They ended up going down 6-5. Then they win it 7-6 in 10 innings over the Giants. So the Dodgers won in 10 innings over the Rockies. So, you know, the bottom line is they pick up a game and they're still one out. What were they, two out at the start of the day? Because now they're one out.
Picked up a game.
I thought they were a game out, but I guess they were
I'm checking right now. I'm looking at it where they were.
Oh, it is. They're one out
now.
Yeah,
they're one out now.
The Dodgers actually rallied. They scored in the ninth. Two runs to tie it at 5. And then Muncy hit a two-run homer.
There he is again, Muncy.
In the 10th. So who's the MVP, Bryce Harper or Max Muncy? Because I'm not giving it to Tatis.
You cannot give anybody on San Diego any kind of award with the way they've played the last 2 months. Nobody deserves anything on the San Diego Padres. Nothing.
Here's that Philly, reverse play you were talking about on a kickoff.
Yeah, that was a crazy play.
Everybody fell for it. The guy never handed the ball off at all. Everybody bit on the fake handoff that the guy going around the other side had the ball, but he didn't. The guy with the ball originally had the ball. You got to see it from behind. I got to see it again. So the guy caught the ball, and he ran up the sideline, but he kept the ball and just went 100 yards. Unbelievable. So thank God I hit the Dodgers and the Cardinals and the Phillies in the big games tonight, because I didn't hit anything else. The Twins are up on the Jays 7-2 in the ninth. The Angels lead the Astros 1-0, bottom 5 in Anaheim. Yawn. And those are the only two games going on. But what did you think of the Cardinals coming back from 5-1 down to beat the Brewers for their 12th straight win? That really is unbelievable. I mean, Craig Counsell's face in that dugout was worth $1 million.
Certainly was. Completely ridiculous. The Cardinals usually screw me like this at the end of the year, but man, they're taking it to a whole nother level this year. 12 in a row. I was right the other day. They're going to have the second wild card wrapped up by Monday. They won't even have to play for anything next week. It's going to be over. Yeah. Finished.
It's already over.
Yeah, I agree.
It's already over. There's no way. What could they possibly do? I mean,
it's Cardinals against the whoever loses the Giants Dodgers. That's it. That's your NL wild card game.
Done. You got that right. So who's it going to be?
Let me see who these teams have here down the stretch. So the Dodgers now go to Arizona for 3. And then they come home and they play the Padres for 3. And then the Brewers for 3. So those are the Dodgers' 9 games left.
So the Giants have the Rockies starting tomorrow in Rado for 3. Then they have the Diamondbacks at home for 3. There's no way they're losing those. And then they play the Padres for three in San Francisco, and they're not losing those either.
I think the Giants are going to win the division.
Based on who they're playing remaining.
Based on that they have a game lead, which is doesn't seem like a lot, but when you only have 9 games left, it matters. And you see,
you kind of have to win 2 games. You
it's been their year.
And you got to pass them.
It's been their year. They're going to finish it off.
I can't even believe the Padres won a game today. That they walked off. I can't even believe it. Seriously, because they suck so bad. I can't even believe how bad they suck. I truly cannot believe how bad they suck. Like, they were celebrating the walk-off win today with champagne on the field with water and everything and spraying each other. And it's just not even funny that they're doing that because they have been so bad for so long. For 2 months, they've literally sucked. And there's nothing else to say about them. You do not celebrate walk-off wins even when you have lost, you know. I mean, they have literally, what have they gone, like 5-30? I mean, honestly, they fell off a cliff like a car drunk driving off a cliff into the ocean. Their season's been over for a month, and they're celebrating winning a game today? It's so funny. They are done. Put a fork in them. Who are they going to fire is the question. And if you don't like this conversation, San Diego, go to bed because it's true. And if you can't handle it, then screw it. Go to bed. Honestly, if we're too hardcore for you, don't it like it is, then, you know, go smoke a bone and go to bed. Seriously, you know it's true, Carver High. You can't even argue.
Look, what they have done the final 2 months of the season is completely embarrassing. And somebody is going to pay the price. I don't think the manager will be back. The French Tingler is going to be out the door. This is a ridiculously bad collapse by them. I mean, they were one of the best teams in baseball for the first 3 months of the year. Everybody was hyped on them. You make all the moves. Forget the two guys that make $500 million. It's all the other moves around with it. Trading for Darvish. Trading for Snell. Trading for Musgrove. Adding pieces at the deadline. Your boy Frazier from Pittsburgh. And, you know, both other various things that they've done. They couldn't miss the playoffs, and they were in the driver's seat. I mean, they had just as big a lead on everybody else as the Dodgers and the Giants. Like, the Dodgers are sitting there, whatever it is, 15 games up, 16 games up on Salem. They were up there with them, and they have completely collapsed. They can't give Tatis, I don't care how much they love that dude, nobody on San Diego deserves any kind of recognition for anything that has happened this year. No award. At all for what they've done. Embarrassing.
Yeah, you can't give him the award just because he had 40 home runs. Just because, and he's, once again, he never played a whole season.
Look,
he never
honestly, they're not going to give it to Muncy because, you know, I think it's hard. I mean, a couple guys in the Dodgers have won the past couple years. Obviously, Bellinger won 2 years ago. Muncy's the MVP. Like, that dude has been so good. 35 homers. He's hit big homers all year long. If the Phillies don't make it, I'd give it to Muncy. They're not going to, but I'd give it to him.
And they're still giving that MVP to Otani?
Oh, that's over. That's been over since
baseball
July.
Baseball is so rigged. It's so rigged. It's ridiculous.
Because he pitches. He's the MVP. They're going to finish. They're going to finish 20 games out of first, 20 games out of the wild card, and he's the MVP. But then here's what you should do then.
Has he won 10 games?
Rename the award. We got the same nonsense in hockey every year with giving Connor McDavid the Hart Trophy every year. You know, rename the award. Just call it the league's most outstanding player. That's it. Who is the league's most? Don't call it the
How
most
about
valuable
the media's
player.
Favorite player. Call it the media's favorite
just,
player.
Like, just don't call it the most valuable player because. For years now, we've taken that name away. It is now who is the most outstanding player. And I'm not, and I don't think neither of us are sitting here trying to bag on Otani. What he's done this year has been tremendous. I mean, the dude pitches and he's hitting 45 bombs and he's had a good ERA. I'm not trying to sit here and say he's had an awful year.
Right.
All I'm saying is, by the definition of the award, he shouldn't win. He just shouldn't.
Maybe they should call it the social media most outstanding player.
Well, just rename it. Get rid of most valuable player. Because that's not what it's about. It's not about who's most valuable to their team. Okay? Now, yeah, sure. Well, if you take Ohtani off the Angels, where would they be? Yeah, they'd be 40 games out. But you want to know what? They were 20 games out. And they weren't even close. Okay? This is most valuable is teams that make the playoffs. Who had the biggest impact on their team making the playoffs? Those are the things that I look at. Obviously, you got to have huge stats to be in that conversation. But you also need to be a playoff team to be in that conversation, not 20 games out of first.
Well, I think he's certainly exciting. I'll give you that. But
oh, of course.
The Angels are anything but exciting. What a train wreck they are. And you know, Joe Maddon, you've done nothing there except lose. And Mike Trout missed the whole season. The only reason to even go see them play is Ohtani. And that's it. I mean, there's absolutely nothing else. It's just an absolutely joke of a franchise. It really is. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
What is there on that team besides nothing? You've got Ohtani and nothing. I cannot believe Mike Trout stayed there. I can't believe he stayed there.
Well, I don't know the deal with Trout. Obviously, he's one of these guys. He's not very out there in terms of a guy that markets himself or personality-wise, etc. I think he likes just chilling on his own underneath his beach umbrella out there in Cali and just, you know, cashing that check. I can't fault him for it. I mean, I can't.
You know who's cashing the check?
What he likes doing.
You know who's cashing the check and just chilling the most is McCaffrey.
Yeah.
He is done. They showed him walking. He looks like he's out 2 months. And
I'll have
to ask
Dr. Zhivago tomorrow on Coast to Coast.
And your boy J.C. Horn broke his foot, the top draft pick. He broke his foot tonight. But I'll tell you this much. The prop boat was in the water. Your boy Darnold did go over the number. It's Terrell on the bench. All right, so Tyson Fury says that I could fight Deontay Wilder on 3 days' notice and effing knock at 400 pounds and still knock the pee out, end quote. He called him a pee, and he said he could fight him at Pharrell in 400 pounds and knock him out.
I saw a clip of this earlier. Notice, this is with Mannix. He talked to Mannix. This was an interview he did with Chris Mannix. And he looks about 400 pounds in the interview. I mean, he looks like he's hitting a quad. I hope he loses a couple at least before this fight in a few weeks. He goes in looking like I saw him today. He could talk all the smack he wants. Wilder's going to put him down if he looks like he did today.
It's in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he better tighten it up.
He is not in shape at all. He's a slob again. So I'm telling you that guy Wilder has been training like a savage. He has been working like nothing you've ever seen, like a savage. And Fury knocked him, killed him in that
fight. Oh, the one me and you went to, he got destroyed.
Right. But in the first fight, I thought Wilder destroyed him. He knocked him out twice. But the second time he got up off the canvas, like God picked him up with no time left, and he won the fight. And it was a draw. But I thought Wilder won that fight. And I thought in the second fight that it would certainly be a better fight than it was. I did not expect to see Tyson Fury dominate him. But I'll say this. I have a hard time taking a guy that doesn't train for the fight. He's just not taking him seriously at all. He is not trained for this fight at all. His cardio, he is going to be so dead tired in that fight because he is a fat slob. And he is eating and drinking again without a doubt. He parties without a doubt. And there is nothing that I'm impressed with at all in Tyson Fury, the alleged heavyweight champion of the world, who's done no training whatsoever for this fight. I'm telling you, that guy, I'm with you. That guy Wilder's going to beat him.
I think he's going to beat him. Let me tell you, this is
and he's vicious.
This is the exact opposite of the second fight. Wilder went into the second fight and he half-assed it because he thought that he beat him the first fight and he thought he would just knock him down and he wouldn't get up this time. And instead, Fury actually trained, went in, and he beat his ass. The complete roles have been reversed. Fury doesn't think he should even be fighting the fight. He knows that he cleaned him out the last time. And Wilder, on the other hand, was embarrassed by the last fight, is training his ass off, and is probably going to beat his ass in this fight. And look, Wilder is still plus 250 right now, a couple weeks before the fight. And let me and you know this, when we get to fight week, people are going to see the stuff that we're seeing right now. Like, that's when people start paying attention to the fight. When you get to fight week and they show up there and they start doing the press conferences, you're going to see that Wilder number go down. It will not be plus 250 fight week. He'll still be a dog. Fury will still be the favorite. But it'll go under plus 200. Get Wilder now. He's going to beat him.
Get him now, Tuvidi. Now listen, have you ever seen him look better, chiseled, fast, hard-hitting, and cardio-wise? He looks absolutely fantastic. Now, I don't think he's the greatest fighter I've ever seen. I'll give you that. I think that he's a good fighter at best. He's never been a great fighter. I think he was a poser champion, right? I never thought he was this bronze bomber squad and all of his BS. You know why he was the champ? Because the heavyweight division is complete ass butter and there are no good fighters in the world right now in that division. Fat Andy Ruiz, who lost 150 pounds so he could win a fight against your boy from London, Joshua, who no one respects to begin with. And then, I still think Fury and Wilder would beat Joshua. But
yeah, Joshua's
anyway,
the biggest clown out of all of them.
He's a poser. But anyway, Ortiz is a poser. And then the other one, the other Ortiz that I saw fight that Wilder knocked out, the Brazilian, whatever his name is, he's another fat ass. He's a loser. The old man, he's like 40. He's terrible. But I'm telling you, if you don't train and prepare, and if you're not in cardio to go 3 minutes for 36 minutes with, the break in between, we already seen him once with his mouth hanging open and knocked out twice. He got lucky in the second round or in the second fight. And I think you're dead right. I think Wilder was not, he thought it was going to be a walk in the park. And he got his ass beat because the guy is a big monster. There's no doubt if he lands a punch on you, he can hurt you. But I mean, if you're that fat and slow and out of shape and have no cardio, I don't even think he can catch him right now. I think he's too quick and too cut. Have you seen how cut he looks?
He's in big trouble. I just think he's in big, and he's even telling you, in that interview with Mannix today, that I could show up, half drunk and beat him. I could show up weighing 400 pounds and beat him.
Well, that's what he's going to do.
Well, I don't know what? He's in for a bad night if he thinks that that's how he's going to beat this guy. So I don't know if somebody maybe after this little interview he did today takes him aside and says, listen, dude, like, you got 2 weeks. I would start to get yourself ready.
They haven't called yet about it and that we're obviously not going. Because no one's gone to a fight in 2 years. I'm amazed that they haven't called or that we're not going. We were going, and then it got canceled. Yes. But now I haven't heard heads or tails from any of those people. Like, they fell off the face of the earth. I don't even care anymore. I got to be honest with you. I'm not even interested in it, like going to it. But I'm surprised they didn't, reach out or something. Maybe they will to do the promotion of it, but what do I care about that? That's a pain in the ass too.
Yeah.
It is, right? Like, let's just be honest. Let's stop with all the BS around here anymore. I'm done with it. Like, that sucks too.
I think that the Canelo Caleb Plant fight is the better fight right now. That's
without
coming up
a doubt.
Next. And because like
and
those,
so is that, and so is Crawford Spence.
Oh yes, now that's the thing.
Be Crawford, that, Crawford Porter.
Yeah, Porter, and we love Porter. And I'm interested in that because it's nice to see T-Bud actually fight somebody who's not, you know, half dead. So this is
like who's a man,
like who's an actual fighter, a man, not right. fighting some kid who's never fought before or some has right. been. T-Bud's actually fighting somebody with a pulse. Like T-Bud's another guy ran around for 2 years. Anybody. Oh yeah, I want to fight Pacquiao. Well, of course you want to fight Pacquiao. He's 100 years old. You know, everybody wants to fight Pacquiao. Some guy we've never heard of beat Pacquiao on 2 days' notice. You know, a couple weeks ago. So, like, yeah, sure, dude. You want to fight him. Now you got to fight Showtime Sean Porter, who is a legit fighter, and I'll be backing him. I don't know if he's a BT Bud, but I don't know if I'm throwing the money away. I'm backing Sean Porter against T-Bud. I want to see T-Bud go down because Porter will fight anybody and T-Bud won't. So that's how it goes.
Porter's our buddy, too. He comes on the show a lot.
Yeah.
He has done the show a lot. We might as well root for him. But we're friends with, Bud. But I don't actually think Bud cares about us. I think Sean likes us.
We can't find T-Bud because he never fights anybody. Like, he never
fights anybody. He's candy.
Fight anybody.
Now, let me ask you this question. If you were Floyd Mayweather, would you take the $100 million De La Hoya offered to fight? Why wouldn't you do that?
Well, here's the problem for Floyd. I mean, I don't know if he wants it on his conscience that he put him in a box. You know, if he legitimately fought him, he'd probably kill him and he'd put him in the ground.
Which I think would be fantastic.
I'm sure a lot of people agree with you, but maybe Floyd, even though Floyd, you know, $100 million, have it on his conscience that he killed him, you know, that's because he would. Like he would, like De La Hoya.
I actually don't believe. I think Oscar De La Hoya is tripping that he thinks he can fight him. But I will say this: I don't believe that because I saw him fight Logan Paul. He did not try. He did not. No,
that
do
was
anything.
Not a real fight. Not a real.
That
fight.
Was not fair enough. But I don't believe. I truly don't believe in the last 5 years that Floyd Mayweather had the ability to knock anyone out. I think he was at the end of his career. His punch was gone. He had no. He could have knocked out Conor McGregor. That was it. That was the last time he had someone in trouble that he could, with his fist, knock them out. I do not believe right now, for 1 second, that Floyd Mayweather could knock anyone out.
I mean, he could probably. I mean, De La Hoya
knock him out.
De La Hoya's an old
knock
man.
De La Hoya out because De La Hoya is a junkie and he's an old, washed-up, fat
exactly.
loser.
He couldn't fight a legit fighter. But, you know, an old washed-up junkie like De La Hoya, you could probably kill him. But, look, like you said, the last 5 years that he actually fought, he knew what he was doing. He never tried to knock anyone out. Every fight went 12 rounds. Every fight he won 9-3 on the scorecard. I mean, it was just absolutely the same damn thing over and over, and people got tired of it. That's why, you know, he got his last huge payday with the McGregor thing. The two of those guys got in a room together. They staged the entire thing. The pre-fight tour, everything was staged. The night of the fight, completely staged between Conor and Floyd, and they both made a ton of money.
I'm sick of Conor McGregor. I'm so sick of him. I don't know who I'm more sick of, Aaron Rodgers or Conor McGregor. I'm sick of both of them. Don't even bring that guy up anymore to me for like the rest of the month. All right, what is it? The 23rd, 24th tomorrow.
Can you give me a break on
Aaron Rodgers until like, you know, October? Can I get like a week off of him? Do I have to like hear about him every day on the show and do interviews with him and everything else and the McAfee clips? Can I have enough of that already? What a terrible call that was on Inescu. That's not even a foul. That's just a terrible shot, you hack ref. Oh, my God. Talk about a chick trying to force the shot with her weak-ass turnaround, with her hands straight up in the air. She didn't even jump, and you call that a foul. You suck. You should be fired. It's a playoff game, for Christ's sakes. Put your whistle away, you hack-ass fat B. You fat B. I'm just reacting to the ref in the Liberty game. I'm just watching a WNBA playoff game here. There's nothing else to watch. After watching that crappy NFL game, this game's actually better. It's 63-61 Phoenix, fourth quarter, 7:50 left in a playoff game, and the Liberty are getting 10.
I got to tell you, I didn't even know that the WNBA was still playing. So that's – I didn't know the season was still going, let alone being in the playoffs.
I didn't even know that they still had a league. I'm just kidding.
I mean, you just told me the Liberty made the playoffs, and they're 12-20 this year.
That says it all, doesn't it?
Jeez.
You make the playoffs, and you're 8 games under .500. How bad do you suck?
Wow.
And no, the refs are really turning this game into a debacle. Chick just hit a three, and they're calling an Eskew for a foul 25 feet away from the shooter for another foul that she got leveled on the floor. I don't even know what the call is. It's so bad. She got leveled, and they're calling the foul on her. She got knocked the F out, and they called the foul on her. That's two bad fouls on her in a row in less than a minute. I mean, this is as bad as it gets, these refs. Oh, my God, the game is fixed. It's like the game's fixed. I'm watching a game that's fixed right now. Like, the two calls I just saw are so egregiously bad that I can't even tell you. Anyway, so explain to me, and that's about as exciting as I'm going to get about the WNBA
playoffs.
There you go. And listen, if you're offended by those comments, good. I hope you have nightmares tonight when you sleep. I don't care what you think of me. I'm done. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. You don't like my opinions? Have a gigantic hoagie. Okay? And think of me when you're eating it, you fat ass. Anyway, here's the deal. Tell me about the Ryder Cup tomorrow morning.
Yes, so the Ryder Cup gets going. The foursomes, which is alternate shots, Scotty. So your teammates, you play one ball and you alternate the shots. Low score of the hole, of course. The team wins the hole. So we have the matchups for the first session.
It's like best ball. It's like
best ball. Yes, best. Correct. Well, kind of, sort of, but you know, you're just hitting the same ball. So here's your matchups for the first foursomes in the morning. Starts off with just, I mean, marquee stuff here. John Rahm and Sergio Garcia take on Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth in the first matchup of the day. I mean, that is heavy hitters club right there to get things going and whistling straights. Paul Casey and Victor Hovland will battle Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa in the second match.
Okay, time out. So let's go back to the first match and tell me you're not going to take Garcia and Rahm with Garcia's Ryder Cup record, the greatest Ryder Cup record of all time. You can say whatever you want about him, but in the Ryder Cup, this guy is absolute money. I have to bet on them.
Yeah, and well, you got Sergio, who's been outstanding in the Ryder Cup with the number one player in the world, and John Rahm, who has been, as we know, tremendous all year long. And it's -110 both ways right now, at least in the book that I'm looking at right now. So it's an even betting matchup.
All right, give me who you like in the second one.
Second match, everybody's on Victor Hovland. I know that. But Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa, I like them.
I love that matchup.
Yeah. Matchup number three, Brooks Koepka and Daniel Berger taking on Lee Westwood and Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Jesus, that's brutal.
Yeah, look, well... Koepka clearly, when he's healthy and on, the best player out of the four. Westwood's the elder statesman, as you could say. Heavy favorite, Koepka and Berger in that matchup. And
Lee, you know, Westwood's a good player, but
he is.
But the bottom line is that's all he is.
Yes,
he's a good player. He's not a great
good
player.
Not a great.
He never gets. He never gets.
Listen,
it done.
There's one great player in that group, and that's Koepka. There's one great player there. And
meanwhile, he doesn't even want to be there. Meanwhile, he doesn't even want anything to do with it.
And the last foursome of the morning session is also marquee stuff. You've got Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, both in their first Ryder Cups, taking on Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter.
Okay, who's that matchup again? Because I just saw Inescu with a dribble drive bucket for the lead when they were down six. She got him the lead again, and they're getting 10. Remember, 5.5 left. Give me that matchup again.
Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele up against Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter.
Oh, my God.
That's a fun match. That's a fun match.
I cannot get off of Patrick Cantlay with the wins he's had recently and the money he's made. He's killed everyone. He killed Rory, everyone.
Yeah.
He's the best player in the world right now.
He's been playing outstanding.
Like this month, he's the hottest player in golf. How do you get off of him?
Tough. And Rory and Poulter both been good in the Ryder Cup, just like Sergio.
They've both been great in the Ryder Cup, but they're not playing the golf that Cantley's. His sticks right now are so on. It's scientific. His swing is so perfect for the last month and a half. He hasn't hit a bad golf shot literally in a month and a half.
No.
Every shot he hits is 5 feet from the pin. The guy just won $15 million. He's the player of the year. And remember, you know way more than me about golf because of your betting in it. But not when it comes to flat out, in my opinion, flat out, that when a guy is playing the way he is, I don't care how many bets you hit, you don't get off of him the way that guy's playing golf. I don't care. I don't need to be a genius about anything knowing that when you win every week and you win all the money. Remember, I'm the one on the air. I said he's going to be player of the year. Player of the year. If he wins that tour championship, he's player of the year. No one else, not Rahm, nobody else. He'll win it, and he did because he literally took every tournament from everyone.
He's been outstanding. It's very hard to – you can't really bet against him right now. And he's got a decent, you know, good player, obviously, in Xander Schauffele, who he's partnered with in the morning session. So that'll be alternate shot. The afternoon session is a straight four ball. All four players will play their ball throughout the entire hole. Whoever has the best score wins that hole for their team. But they don't announce those until after the morning. The captains can, you know, they wait and see what happens in the morning before they decide who's going to play in the afternoon.
So would you get your ass tattooed like they're going to, the captains?
You know, if I was making the kind of money that they are, yeah, sure. I would go ahead and get the ass tattoo. No doubt.
You already have tattoos. It's no big deal to you.
No big deal to me. And that's one where nobody would, you know, generally see it anyway.
Trevor, so have you drank the new Bud Light Platinum 6% alcohol beer?
I have not. Not going to lie. I have not gotten involved with the Platinum.
Why not?
Well, look, I haven't seen it anywhere.
In beer drinking for you, a Saturday night special.
That's kind of like these are all gimmicky things. Bud Light Platinum, you know,
it's got more alcohol in it. You could call it Platinum. You can call it Gorgeous. All I know is it's got more alcohol in it.
That's what they tell you.
What do you think? They're lying?
I don't think the
Bud Light can is actually got the same alcohol as the new one that screams that it's 6% alcohol.
This is the new gimmick now. We're going to put, you know, another percent or another half a percent of alcohol in it and sell it to you. It's nonsense.
So your favorite beer takes the next step to glory.
Well, it's not my favorite beer. I mean, it's probably not my favorite.
And you're not going to try it. That's unbelievable to me.
Not
you want
my favorite
me to
beer.
Buy it and send a six pack to you? Will that make you feel better if you don't have to pay for it?
Not my favorite beer. It's the best beer to drink when you know you're going to drink for 12 or 15 hours. It's the
but
best
it's not
beer
your favorite beer.
No. But it's the beer that it's the beer that I would prefer. Like if I'm gonna go out and play golf all day and you know you're gonna drink more than like 3, 4, 5 beers, you're gonna get in that double digit range, that's what you wanna drink. You wanna drink the Bud Lights because you can drink more of them.
What is your favorite beer? The Heine?
No, I'm not a big Heineken fan. I don't mind the Heineken Lights, but Guinness is definitely in the top 3 or 4. Definitely in the top 3.
I like Guinness. I drank a ton of Guinness.
Yeah, Guinness is a real good beer.
You got to be a professional to drink Guinness, otherwise you get Rita.
Yeah. There's a couple summer beers that I really like. I like the Oyster Bay Brewing here on Long Island. They've got a couple really nice beers. But Bud Lights are good if you're going to go all day. If you're going to go all day, you fire the lights up.
I've seen you go all day in the 110 degree heat in the desert. I've seen you bust off Bud Lights all day,
and that's because that's you when you know that you're going to drink all day long. That's what you do. You go with those.
Are you excited that we'll be going allegedly to the Super Bowl again this year at Circa?
That would be outstanding. I'm excited to see the new place. We've spent plenty of time, of course, down the block at the D. I'm excited to see the new joint. Well, whenever we eventually get there, I think it's going to be awesome.
I've been told that's happening, so I certainly hope they don't backtrack on that one, or there could be some tension. I mean, I can promise you tension. We should have been out there a month ago. So there's going to be tension.
I got to get to that stadium swim. I got to get out there at that little pool.
I mean, honestly, we should have had a party on that Saturday at Stadium Swim, and I should have been on like five hookers.
Why stop at five? I mean, why stop at five?
Well, you know, I'm a sexual dynamo, so I would have gone for it. I would have, you know, I would have rode the lightning as far as I could take it. But
ride the lightning.
I didn't get that opportunity. I was still sitting next to my 130-pound dog on the sofa on that Saturday watching college football. It was embarrassing.
Yeah. It was a good day.
My dog was licking a bone next to me and missing the bone and hitting my leg instead and getting me wet with his large, gigantic, slobbering tongue. As you know, Boston is a Cujo-esque, like, slob. Wherever he goes, he drools. Like, if he just stands and watches you eat, he drools like puddles, like giant puddles of phlegm onto the ground.
Large animal.
Giant. And, I mean, it's slippery as ice. Like, if you walk on it with, like, a flip-flop, you'll fall and break your neck. I don't know if you knew that or not, but dog's saliva is actually, like, slippery. It's not just wet. It's not just water. It's actual, like, ice capades. So you have to clean it up right then or there, because if anyone hits that patch, they're going down with like a hammy tear, calf tear, knee blowout, Achilles, something.
Finish. I'm
telling you. By the way, since I've been watching this game, the Liberty by one with 3 minutes left, and they were 10-point dogs. And the refs are clearly fixing the game at the same time, completely on the take for Phoenix with their horrid calls, but the Liberty are still winning the game, and they got to steal Enescu. Remember, she had the go-ahead bucket, and they still lead by one. And if she has another one here, it might be lights out. They're getting it
now.
That's
is this
a
like
bad
a
shot,
is this like
she
a
knocks it down? Oh,
it's like a
God.
Best out of three, best out of five. I mean, what's the?
This is a best of one.
What?
Loser goes home. It's like the play-in game. The Liberty earned the right for a one-game playoff to get to the second round. It's Terrell on the bench. I think the guy Guerrero that's Brady's trainer talking about Belichick never evolved is ridiculous. He didn't evolve at all winning those six Super Bowls. I'll tell you, you know, Mr. Guerrero, you sure are on top of things. He never evolved as a coach with all those rings he's got. He never evolved with his quarterback. As he said, he treated him like a 20-year-old when he was 40. And there's nothing. I don't think there's anything more ridiculous that I've heard yet about Tom Brady, that Bill Belichick suddenly had no skill with Brady and that he didn't know what he was doing with Tom Brady as they went to 9 Super Bowls together. I mean, what Alex Guerrero, you need to shut your fat mouth, honestly, because you know what you are? You're another trainer. You're a trainer, bro. Calm down. You're not running the NFL. You're not a head coach. You've got no rings. You probably are mentioned in his book, but like you help him with his training. Good for you. Congratulations. But believe me, you are no Bill Belichick, you stupid ass.
Well, just get ready, because this is the start of it. We're going to get through these games on Sunday, and then Monday through Friday next week is going to be wall-to-wall Brady versus Belichick next Sunday night, because that's the game. The Bucs are going to Foxborough next Sunday. It's going to be all week.
They can't beat the Bucs. They're not beating
not beating the Bucs, but it's going to be all week of the first Brady versus Belichick matchup. The first, it's going to be just nauseating.
So here's this game. They got 8 seconds left. They're down three. They need a three right now. Shoots the three ball. Clean money with 2 seconds left. It's tied. Woo! You know they're covering that 10 spot. What up, kid? All right, I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV. Peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.